Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever found out a secret? Or maybe you had a secret. I remember this one time I had a secret. What happened was my wife and I were wanting to lose some weight. She happened to have a doctor's appointment, and her doctor suggested that we take these pills. She came home. She told me about these pills. I said, no way, I'm not taking diet pills. She said, no, it's not a diet pill. It's this pill, when you take it, it like absorbs 25% of the fat that you eat. I said, I'm not taking a diet pill. She said, it's really not a diet pill. I was like, fine. And so I started taking this pill. And man, the pills worked great. They were easy to take. I lost some weight. I mean, really, the only problem with these pills is that they made me start pooping my pants. I'm serious, pooping my pants. And it's not funny. I can tell you right now who in this room has pooped their pants and who hasn't. Because once you join that club, you stop seeing the humor in it altogether. So what happened was, she gave me the pills, started taking them the day she gave them to me. The next day, I flew to Kansas City, where I was speaking at an all-day event. I spoke, I was walking around talking to people, and I just started feeling weird, like just kind of uncomfortable. And so I went to the bathroom, and I kind of looked, and I realized I had pooped my pants. I don't know when it happened. Like I have no idea how it happened. But at that point, because I still had to be there for hours more, I realized I had a secret. And I was wearing khakis. Like, I had a secret. Like, I went back out, and like, I'm like walking along the wall, you know, with like my back to the wall. And people would introduce themselves to me and then walk past me and be like, yeah, good to meet you. I just kind of turn with them. So I went home from Kansas City, and I said to my wife, hey, thanks so much for those pills. They're great. Just let me know if you can get the poop stain out of my pants. And she's like, what? I can't believe it. I'm so sorry. But I don't know how that happened. So we got on the website for these pills, and we look at the warnings. And in the warning, it says, when you start taking these pills, wear dark pants and always have an extra set of clothing with you. They make a pill that they know will make you poop your pants. And I bought that pill. I paid to poop my pants. Well, I stopped taking the pills because I decided I don't enjoy pooping my pants, really. And I also decided that I don't like living with a secret. Like, I just prefer when secrets are revealed. Tonight, we're going to talk about the movie Elf and two secrets at the heart of it. And we're going to kind of see how Elf relates to the Christmas story and two secrets at the heart of it. And I honestly believe that these next 20 minutes, having these two secrets revealed, could change your life. I really believe that. So, the Elf movie. If you remember the movie, Buddy grew up in the North Pole as an elf, but he was not really an elf. He was a human. And one day he discovers this secret that his father isn't who he thought he was. And so now that his father's true identity has been revealed, he makes this long journey from the North Pole to New York City to find his real father. The Christmas story. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth as a human, but he wasn't really just a human. He was God. He had made a long journey from heaven to earth to find us, and to reveal to us our true Father, to come to share a secret that our Heavenly Father isn't who we thought he was. See, the Bible says that God is our Heavenly Father, and Jesus came to show us what the Heavenly Father is really like. For instance, one time he said, and we'll put all the Bible verses on the screen for you, in John 14, he said, if you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You know, we go through life with so many misconceptions about God. And it's kind of easy to have them because God is, he's kind of distant and he's kind of mysterious. So what we do is we take guesses and we make assumptions based on our earthly human fathers and experiences that we've had. But because Jesus came, because he has shown us through his life what the Father is like, we don't have to guess. We can know. Perhaps you've wondered, isn't God just this distant, uncaring entity? No. Jesus tells us that God cares so much about every detail of your life that he knows how many hairs you have on the top of your head and wants you to share with him every thought that goes through your head. Or maybe you've wondered, isn't God all about rules? No, it turns out that God is all about love. And Jesus told us that the intention of every single rule is just to help us to love God and love others. Isn't God for the religious people and against the sinful people? No, in Jesus, we see God confronting religious people for their hypocrisy and embracing sinful people for their honesty. Don't we have to strive to be good enough for God? No, God invites us to rest in his goodness. Is God really there for me when I need him? No, he's actually there for you all the time, every moment of every day. See, who God is, it was kind of mysterious. It was kind of a secret. And Jesus came to reveal the truth. Your heavenly Father isn't who you think he is. He is so much better. He's what you would want God to be. He's what you need. And Jesus came because God is reaching out to you in love. He wants you to be a part of his life, and he wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be in relationship with you, and you can have that. That's why Jesus came, so you can know him. And that leads us right into the second secret. So in the Elf movie, Buddy's circumstances are never very great, right? Like in the North Pole, he doesn't fit in. He's misunderstood and made fun of by the other elves. And then he gets to New York City, and the dad he came to find rejects him. He's made fun of again. He doesn't fit in again. It's not what he hoped it would be. It was stressful, but Buddy is able to have joy despite his circumstances. It's like he's got this secret of always having joy. In the Christmas story, the circumstances are never, never very great. For Mary, the mother of Jesus, she did not fit in. She was misunderstood. She was very likely made fun of because she was a teenager, now pregnant, not yet married. She was probably rejected by just about everyone. It's not what she hoped. It's incredibly stressful. But despite her circumstances, Mary had joy. I want to show you Mary's response to her difficult circumstances. In Luke chapter 1, it says, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me." Man, this teenager's reaction to her not great circumstances 2,000 years ago is really good news for you and me today. But because what it shows us is that you don't have to have life be perfect for you to be joyful. She knew this secret, and it's a secret that we can learn. And that might be especially helpful to a lot of us at this time of year. Because, you know, the Christmas season can be more stressful than joyful if we're not careful. And I'm not sure what's going on in your life. I don't know what circumstances are not great for you right now, what stress hits you at this time of year. It might be physical. Like, you've got parties to go to and presents to buy and presents to wrap and Christmas shopping, and it's just all exhausting. And maybe you are just feeling drained tonight. Or it may be that you have some serious health issues that are causing you stress. Or it might be relational. Maybe you're having to deal with extended family. You don't have to elbow them right now. Or maybe you've lost someone you love this year. Or maybe your marriage is kind of falling apart. Or perhaps for you, the stress is financial. You're trying to buy presents and you really don't have the money to do it. Or maybe you can't find a job or you can't sell your house. And life can be stressful, especially at this time of year. And it can be really hard to have joy. But despite your circumstances, listen, you can have joy. There is a secret to having joy despite your circumstances. In the Elf movie, we eventually learn Buddy's secret of having joy despite his circumstances. His joy comes from knowing Santa. Maybe you remember this scene. Check this out.
Time for the announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah!
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
No one else was excited because the Santa they were thinking of wasn't the real Santa. But Buddy, he's not thinking of some department store Santa wannabe. He's thinking of the real Santa, and he knows him. He knows him, and it gives him joy. In the Bible, through Jesus, we learn the secret of us having joy despite our circumstances, and the joy for us can come from knowing him, from knowing him. So like one of the first Christians was this guy named Paul, and he went through some horrible circumstances. He believed in Jesus at a time when it was illegal to do so, and so he was arrested and tortured repeatedly just because he believed in Jesus, talked about Jesus. Paul wrote a letter once to a church in a town called Philippi from a jail cell. He was imprisoned because he had talked about Jesus. It was illegal to do so. Bad circumstances, but still he had joy. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he tells us that we can have joy. Check it out. He says, always, look at that word, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always. It's like, okay, but how? How did Paul have joy even when he's in jail? How can we have joy when things are wrong for us? He explains a few sentences later. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And so he's like, listen, my joy comes from knowing him, from knowing him. Why does that give us joy? Because when you know him, you know that he loves you. And you know that he is working in whatever bad circumstances you're having to deal with. Paul also wrote in a book called Romans, he said, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. That's why we can have joy in everything. Joy comes from knowing him, the real him. Listen, I realize that some people might go through the motions of religion. They're just kind of showing up for church. And you might look at people like that and say, they don't have much joy. Yeah, but it's because the God they're thinking of isn't the real God. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about the real God who humbly came down from heaven, was born in a manger, wrapped himself in human skin, proved he was not just human, that he was God, come to earth, the Lord, come to earth, the King, come to earth, the King of Kings living a human life. And he showed us who God really is. When you know him, the real God, it gives you joy. This is not just talk for church. Like, this is real. This is real. I know people who have gone through circumstances worse than a lot of us could imagine. Lisa had cancer. Gene had his house burned down, lost all of his possessions. Marge had MS. Chris went through bankruptcy. Karen had her teenage daughter die. And listen, they were not happy about it. Okay, they weren't happy, but they had joy. It was incredible. They still had joy. They had joy despite their circumstances, and their joy came from knowing him. And so I need to ask you, do you know him? Do you know him? I want so bad for you to know him, because when you know him, when you put your faith in him, when you submit your life to him, it changes everything. It really does. It has for me. Do you know him? And have you made him your God, your Savior, your Lord, your King? There's a great old preacher. His name is S.M. Lockridge. He's an African-American preacher. He's got this great kind of booming, raspy voice, and he has this sermon. It's become kind of famous, talking about the Jesus that he knows and what his King is truly like, and asking that question, do you know him? And I can't do it justice, but I'm going to have fun trying. In that sermon, he says this. He says, my King is a seven-weight king. My King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. That's my King. Do you know him? My King is a sovereign king. No means of measure can divide his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supplies. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He is the greatest phenomena that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the only one qualified to be called all-sufficient. And I wonder, do you know him? Well, he heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends from evil. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. And I wonder, do you know him? Well, this is my King. My King is the key. He is the key to knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway to deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Oh, I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees wanted to stop him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave? Oh, the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. That's my king. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever. And when you get down with all those forevers, then amen, amen. Good God Almighty, amen. Do you know him? I'm serious. Do you know him? Here's what I would say to you. Listen, if your life hasn't been radically changed by him, then I would say humbly, politely, you don't know him. Because when people really know him, their lives are turned like inside out and upside down in the best way imaginable. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you don't know him, the good news is you can. Because God wants to be known. He came for you, so that you could know him, so that you could have a relationship with him. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what we celebrate this time of year. And if you don't know him, but you want to, man, there are people you could talk to tonight. There's going to be people behind the Velcro bar, which is our connecting place. Love to answer any questions you have. If you want to know him, but you're like, I don't have time to talk tonight. I don't want to talk to anyone tonight. I get that. You could use the connection card on your seat. Ask us questions. Ask us to contact you. You can grab me in the lobby. Or what about this? What about you come back next week? And I realize that some of you are not planning on that. You're like, this was a one-time thing for me. I understand. But maybe come back next week for this new series we're going to be starting next week called Becoming. And maybe come back the week after that, too. Why? So you can know him. Because knowing him, and it changes everything. You want to know him. And I want to pray that for you right now. Let's pray. God, the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of our world, the thing that divides time on this earth, is when Jesus came and was born, when God wore diapers and then grew up and proved Jesus was really God, so we wouldn't have any doubts if we just look at it, so that we could know what you are really like, God, so that all the misunderstandings and misconceptions could be cleared away and we could really know you. And God, I have found that knowing you has changed everything in my life. And I have so many friends. I know so many people. Knowing you has changed everything for them. God, my greatest prayer is that everyone in this room, that everyone in this city would know you. Because knowing you changes everything. God, I pray that tonight you would help each of us to decide, you know what, God, I want to know you more. I don't know you well enough. I need to get to know Jesus because I want to know you and I want my life to be changed by you. God, thank you for Christmas. Because of Christmas, that's possible. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming for us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.